It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Top 4 at 4. Brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. In with the Top 4 at 4 today, me. Josh Heupel on the SEC coaches teleconference. He's asked, they poked at him a little bit, is it still a rivalry when one team wins 14 games in a row? He says, absolutely. Quote, for us, it's really important that we continue to build the culture and build our program. It's important to win in this game. It's a rivalry between two schools, but for us, it's about controlling the controllables. He also said, Hendon Hooker still day-to-day, getting some more work on the practice field. We'll know more later on in the week. And I thought it was interesting. They asked him about Toto and if he ever thought that he might stay around. And I have lost that quote for just a minute. Where is it? He said, I think that ship in his mind had pretty much sailed. He was no longer on campus, was not here in Knoxville, and was back home.
Yeah, I hate that because I kind of really feel like if he had
he would have been great for this team.
Yeah, he would have been great for this team, and I think these coaches would have been great for him.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with the defensive staff. Those guys have improved every week. They're getting developed.
They might have been able to teach him how to cover a slant over the middle.
Yeah. He would have probably made a huge difference for us, but no use crying over spilled milk. Can't do anything about it. I wish the young man well, but I like Heupel, Russell. I'm starting to buy in on him.
Number two, former Washington State coach Nick Rolovich will be suing the university for illegal termination in part because of, quote, discriminatory and vindictive behavior by athletics director Pat Chun, according to Rolovich's attorney. Of course, he was fired yesterday for refusing to comply with the COVID vaccine mandate.
Sorry, dude, you coach in Washington State. You know, you couldn't get a religious exemption. Rolovich is Catholic. And if you can't get it, you know, the Pope's already come out and said that.
Oh, that's, yeah, it's hard to do what the Pope has said. Yes, you must get the vaccine.
Well, yeah, that, and if you're going to get an exemption for that, there is a whole list of medicines that, including, like, I'm talking like everyday stuff that people just take for granted. Mm. That you, if you're going for that exemption, you better not be taking, I mean, stuff like Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol. It's like 13 different things that are like common everyday over-the-counter drugs that people take. That if you're going to claim an exemption for the COVID vaccine, then you're basically saying that you don't take any of that other stuff.
Mm. Number three,
yeah.
Cleveland Browns quarterback Case Keenum will get the start tomorrow against the Broncos in place of Baker Mayfield. Baker, battling a torn labrum in his left non-throwing shoulder, has been officially ruled out. You think the Browns can beat the Broncos without Baker Mayfield?
The Broncos?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the Broncos have their own quarterback problems, but defensively, like A.J. Johnson – VFL AJ is one of the best linebackers in the league right now, numbers wise.
Browns had opened up as a 6-point favorite over the Broncos, but the line is down to 3.5 as of this
morning.
Where's
that game at? Mile High or in the dog pound?
That's a good question. I'll look that up for you. Number four, Major League Baseball playoffs continue tonight. It'll be game 5 of the ALCS, Astros-Red Sox. That series tied at 2. 5:08 first pitch at Fenway there. And then 8:08 tonight,
Astros.
The Braves and the Dodgers. Atlanta leads that series 2-1. And Bear, I told you this. My luck as a Braves fan ever since I stopped being a Braves fan is unbelievable. The last time I got all excited, they sucked me in. The first game I watched was that game where every time I get into it, they have just a total Braves moment. And you know me, I'm not superstitious. However, I am a little stitious. And so I tuned into the Braves game yesterday thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. I'm bad luck. And they're up 5-2 in the top of the eighth inning with two runners on and Ozzie Albies up bat. And I'm thinking, all right, even I can't screw this up. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating in the slightest. As soon as I tune in, Ozzie pops out. They go to the bottom of the eighth. And dude comes up and hits, I think it was 4-2. He hits a three-run, or no, yeah, it was 5-2. He hits a three-run homer to tie it at 5. And then they give up a big inning, ended up losing the game. As soon as I tune in.
Unbelievable.
I just can't enjoy nice things in baseball.
The timing of that is unfair.
It is unfair.
Chance in the text box says, wasn't Russell a Cubs fan? He sure was when they won the World Series a couple of years ago. Russ is a fraud.
What are you implying?
Strong words from Chance.
That's a listener named Chance Collins. I wonder if that's the same Chance Collins we know.
No.
Got to be a coincidence. That is the Top 404. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Folks, if it's been a while since you've been to the dentist,
been a while.
Do what I do. Call Knoxville Smiles. Go see Dr. Steve Malone. He's been doing it for 25 years now here in Knoxville, and nobody does it better. Whether you need a routine dental cleaning or something a little bit more involved, perhaps you need wisdom teeth taken out. Perhaps you need a filling, a crown, a bridge, a veneer, implants. They do it all right there at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today at 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment. And you could also take a virtual tour of their state-of-the-art facility on South Peters Road in West Knoxville online at knoxvillesmiles.com. Back to the phones. Geraldo is next. What's up, Geraldo?
Hello, gentlemen. Russell, I just want to say, you cannot put that on yourself, brother. It is not your fault the Braves lost.
Thank you.
You need to let that go. I've had to do that in my own life of, like, I'm not really superstitious, but, like, I found myself doing things that would indicate that I am actually a little superstitious. I just had to let that go. I have no outcome on a game, and neither do you, Russell. You just need to let that go, my friend.
So
there is no guilt.
Am I allowed to watch the Braves tonight, then?
You are, sir. You are.
Are you a Dodgers
because
fan?
Nothing. You... No, I'm not. I really don't care about Major League Baseball, to be honest with you. It's, you know, like, nothing you do will affect the outcome of that game.
Mm.
Nothing.
Mm.
Unless, you know, you throw trash on the field or you go streaking or something across the field.
I'm hoping it's not a borderline dangerous atmosphere in Dodger Stadium for my Braves tonight.
Yeah.
You called it, Geraldo.
Yeah. yes, I did. I did not realize what a powerful influence I am on Ball Nation. I did not realize, so I'm going to choose my words carefully from here on out.
I don't think it's so much you as it is Trent Flubbs from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Oh, yes, Gallatin, Tennessee, a beautiful place, Bear. So, hey, guys, let me ask you this. If you were the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers this week, would you set out some players like Tyon Evans, Hendon Hooker, if they were available to go, would you just go ahead and rest them, thinking, you know what, we have a bye week coming up after that, and let's just make sure they're 100% healthy, or you give Bama your best shot?
I think if there's nothing wrong with them and they're completely cleared by the medical staff, these kids come here to play Alabama. Go ahead and start them. If they're dinged up and – they need, you know, the medical staff feels like they could use another week of treatment and rest, sit them.
Here's what I agree with you, Bear, but here's what you know, right? The Mays boys want to play. Cooper Mays has got to be chomping at the bit to get back out there. And he looks like he's walking around fine. He might be able to go, but if it's me, I kind of lean towards, look, man, you've had this problem. It's been recurring. We have a chance to rest you for two more weeks. before the Kentucky game, which is a more winnable game, even though as a coach you can't really say that out loud to your players, I'd be very tempted just to sit him. Now, if Hooker's okay and you put a little brace on him and he's not at risk of further injury, then I'd definitely play him.
I don't know that I would run if Hooker's ready to go and you're going to brace him. I don't know that I would be running.
Yeah,
him
you protect
much.
You protect him a little bit with your play calling.
Yeah, tell him to get down.
I also think you weigh in, you know, just the likelihood that each guy is going to re-aggravate that injury, right? A guy like Cooper Mays, who you just talked about, Russ, that's a guy who's been dealing with these issues all season long. So if you feel like, hey, we might be close to getting him back to a really good spot, but we also know that little things kind of tweak it out of place, that might go into my decision. Maybe somebody like Cade, who, hey, they felt good about his throughout the week, then maybe get him back in. Mm.
Guys, I just feel like if this team is 100%, there's a part of me that's convincing myself, you know what? Streaks have to end sooner or later. That one day the streaks will end, okay? So, I mean, even The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. So, I mean, there's always a chance. I don't know where we're at health-wise, and I don't think we're actually going to know where we're at health-wise until Saturday at 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, we won't know. He's not going to say anything. That's his style, and that's his prerogative, and I suppose that's his right. So you're right. We'll have to tune in Saturday night at 7 and find out. Raldo, appreciate the phone call, brother. You know, Bear, I don't want to encourage him because I don't know what I fully think yet, and, of course, won't make my prediction until Friday off the top of the show.
Okay.
But that being said, I've had a funny feeling about this game all week.
Oh, God.
And you know me. I never say that, right? You've been doing the show, what, 5 years now?
Almost six.
Have I ever pretended that we have a chance against Alabama?
No, I'm the one that gets a little stupid and thinks that calls for us to beat Alabama every year.
I've never done that.
I think we could score on these guys. I just don't think we can slow them down.
I've never done that. I've never called for Tennessee to even be remotely competitive with Alabama for as long as you've been on with me. The last time I thought we had any sort of realistic chance, even the Dobbs years, I did not think Tennessee had a chance to beat them.
I thought we did in 15 because Alabama was coming off what we are. They played 8 straight games and they played us.
I'm just telling you, like, my background. So when I say this, don't think, oh, crazy homer. I've had a funny feeling about it, man. I think that if Hooker is healthy and can throw it a little bit, I could see Tennessee going in there and going up and down the field on those guys a little. And who knows? Who knows? I'm not saying.
I definitely like Velus Jones over the middle with toe-to-toe because he does not still to this day know how to cover a slant. That'll be the real big thing. I'm interested to see toe-to-toe in the NFL. He's got to figure out how to do that or he won't play in the NFL.
Let's get Lloyd in here.
Let's.
Lloyd, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
Doing fine. Yourself?
Excellent. Thank you.
Long time no talkie.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Bear. Glad to hear everything's going good, buddy.
Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, were there ever an official statement on the Tyler Barron scoop and score on, you know, what happened there?
Trey Wallace with Outkick, formerly of the Drive. Got a response back from the SEC. Russell, let me correct me if I'm wrong, but they basically made up a bunch of stuff and explained it away.
Basically called it forward progress. Yeah.
They really did not have much of an explanation at all. It did not refer to the play, the players, anything. They just referred to their overall mindset on that kind of play.
It was very similar to any number of incidents that went down at the station when Russell and I had to sit down with Nate and I had to come up with an excuse for something I've done.
You know, with a guy like Corral, that in the grasp of a guy like that is non-existent because he's always sliding and fighting and slithering out of tackles. I mean, golly.
Oh, it's a terrible call.
At some point, you would think logic would come in, and you'd think, okay, this is a, what are they, what's their little bird, bang bang play or whatever. You know, it's not like he was, you know, he had probably given himself up because he didn't know what to do, you know, when the defense did not buy their little fake play. So it's almost like he was standing there, you know, kind of playing like the play was dead, and golly, the officials bought it. I guess just call me Don today.
It's but you know what I said at the as bad a call as it's egregious, it's inexcusable. They blew it, and they know that, and I'm sure they've communicated that behind the scenes, and they won't say anything about it publicly, which is part of the problem. But whatever. But I actually feel like it actually worked to Tennessee's advantage because we ended up getting 9 points instead of 7.
Yeah, you got 9.
Well, we punted. You know, we didn't score on that possession. We punted them deep.
Yeah.
And got the safety. So, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe. Yeah, I mean, bottom line, Tennessee didn't play a real good game.
No.
At all.
They,
I mean, you say that, yeah. But, I mean, we played the number 13 team off their feet, held that offense in check. And basically
and
what
impressive.
I've heard from behind the scenes, Lloyd, was that Heupel decided that he was going to, on defense, defensively, he wasn't going to let Matt Corral beat us with his arm. If they were going to beat us, it was going to be him running the ball.
Yeah.
And we had we could have made a play.
It would have worked. It would have worked. We held him to 7 points in the second half. And, you know, it's if you know, you're playing without your best offensive lineman who goes down the first possession of the game, all the things that are working against you in that situation, and yet, like Bear said, you probably still should have won it. It's a tough one to swallow.
Well, and that's 3 weeks in a row special teams have given up a touchdown.
Yep.
You had the kick return against Missouri, the fake play with Beamer, and then, you know, that fumble. So I remember, telling some friends, I just didn't think – I thought the moment was a little too big for this team.
Maybe. That might be true.
Probably what it was. Guys, out the door, regarding the trash on the field, my sources are telling me that a vast majority of the people that threw that trash were wearing masks and practicing social distancing. Y'all have any information on that?
I was there. I did not see a lot of masks.
The only thing I know about the trash is that I've heard from very reputable people on a local message board that Ole Miss fans initiated the throwing.
That's the dumbest
stuff.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
I will not stand by while you besmirch
yes, you
the
will.
Good name of my internet friends or us.
Yes, you will.
I just think it's amazing that people are acting like that everyone was in danger. Yeah, plastic bottle and mustard.
I mean, the golf ball, in all seriousness, you know, just because I've excuse me.
We know somebody – there was at least one band member that got hit that required some stitches. I know another person whose son got hit in the back of the head with a half can of beer. I don't think he had stitches, but wasn't pleasant. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a terrorist incident or anything like that, but it's also – it's not good. It shouldn't have happened, but
– No, and it is dangerous. I knew in – Miss is not something new. I mean, they threw stuff in the 80s. Lloyd, you remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
I know a girl I grew up in my neighborhood, her boyfriend got hit in the back of the head with a half-pint bottle and busted him wide open, put him in the hospital. So, I mean, it doesn't need to happen. But like Russ said, Russ put out an article, Lloyd. I strongly urge everybody to read it. That place was a pressure cooker, and that schmuck Lane Kiffin had us roiling.
You know, and it's everybody all day, people up there drinking, and they built this thing up like it was the 98 Florida game. I thought that was going a little bit too far. You know, it was a big game, no bigger than the Kentucky game in 2018 or, you know, South Carolina 2013.
Oh, it was big. No,
yeah,
it was bigger.
Those weren't
than
sellouts.
Those games,
you know?
Yeah. It was bigger than
but
both
I mean,
those games.
If you take Lane Kiffin out of the equation, I don't think think it would be that kind of game like South Carolina or Kentucky. You put Lane Kiffin in the equation, and him being the, you know, I mean, he's the one who kicked this.
That amped it up to 11. That took it to 11, no doubt.
Guys, hopefully Beach doesn't get this basketball program screwed up. See ya.
What? Who doesn't get this?
Couldn't entirely make it out. Beach?
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More fan-run radio coming up.
The Drive.
Winning season returns at mybookie.com, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by double.
Back here on The Drive, it's fan-run radio. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Trey is next. Hello, Trey.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got to defend myself a little bit from yesterday. Terry kind of called me out. I listened to the podcast later, so I got to clarify, Russell. When I approached you yesterday and Terry kindly offered for you to sign an article of my clothing, I was wearing my favorite T-shirt, so that wasn't an option. I was wearing my good work pants, so those weren't an option. All I had left was a pair of underwear I actually planned on throwing away that night. So that's why I offered that up. Your signature. So we have to clarify that there.
This well, call is getting really weird, Trey.
Thanks.
Why were you throwing away the underwear?
Yeah, why were you throwing away it?
Did something happen?
No, they got some holes in them. That's special there.
Good.
So,
all of my
boxes. Anyway.
What's your bone to pick with Terry Fair?
He was correcting the record.
Terry didn't offer his signature. I would have gotten something good out for Terry.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell would you want to get Russell's signature for?
That's
he wasn't a first-round draft pick. He didn't seal the SEC championship game with an interception. He was in his dorm room with his drunken buddies just pounding beers.
And that's why I offer up the underwear I'm about to throw away. So that's,
yeah.
that equals out.
Seems
so
reasonable.
Anyway. Exactly. So there we go. So now that that's cleared up, Russell, it was great meeting you and coming to the remote yesterday and meeting Terry. That was pretty cool. I want to talk about, I guess, a couple of things. First, Jeremy Pruitt, man. Has he just, like, ruined himself for coaching, like, pretty much forever? Like, is there anybody that's ever going to touch him again after doing this kind of crap?
No. No, he's done, man. That stunt that he pulled yesterday will not go over well in the coaching community.
There's a code, right, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really
niche.
Talk about that stuff, but you sure as heck don't throw other people like, you know, I'm hearing that, you know, Thigpen, those guys don't even know him. Thigpen and Martinez, like, they don't even know Jeremy Pruitt. So it's like, dude, like, you're just talking about guys that you – stuff that you have no idea. You're taking a bunch of hearsay, something you heard, or you're making something up, which I wouldn't put past a lying bammer, and putting other people's names in there. He doesn't know anything about the way Rick Barnes runs his program. So
hey, I love the way that Rick hit back at him, too. The NCAA can come in here any day.
I don't know about that. That's kind of the way Hugh Freeze ended up getting fired, a similar tactic as I recall. But, yeah, I don't think that I don't think Barnes has any of those skeletons in his closet. But Pruitt, that's going to go like a spider web throughout the college game. Nobody's going to want to work with that guy. Nobody's going to hire him. It's going to happen in the NFL too, because there's enough Tennessee people throughout that league where they're gonna turn on him, man. I will be stunned if he's coaching in the NFL next year.
That's a great point. I'd forgotten about that until you just said that, Russell. How many Tennessee people are just throughout the NFL and league in the league offices and, you know, front office people with different teams. There's a ton of Tennessee people throughout the NFL. That's a good point.
Yeah. And for all the stupid things that the university does, I'm actually really happy that they said basically they're going to fight this tooth and nail and not pay him a dime. So honestly, if they burned down our program basically to get out of this contract and not pay him, and then in the end ended up paying him when he threatened something like that, that'd be the most Tennessee thing ever. So at least I'm happy that they're sticking with their guns and saying, we're not going to pay this idiot anything. We'll see you in court. That's if you settle at this point, it makes it gives validity to everything he's saying. And I don't think you can do that at all. So
yeah.
I'd say you take him to court.
I don't know that it gives it validity. I'm not closing the door on it. I mean, they might end up settling for a fraction of the $12 million just to make it go away and just to get his signature on a non-disclosure agreement so that he'll stop talking about this stuff. But they're certainly not giving that appearance in their public comments.
Yeah. Hey, guys, one more thing out the door. I'm getting, I understand the trash throwing thing, and technically it's wrong and all that, but what else do you expect out of a fan base that's been kicked, mistreated, crapped on by, like, the national media, jabbed by the refs? Like, that's when you really see a bunch of people hit a breaking point. And I don't understand, like, maybe, I'm 30 now. Were we some kind of, like, classy, pristine program in the past that, the fans never got rowdy at a game? Like, what are all these people that, oh, my gosh, this is Tennessee. We don't do that here. Like, where does that come from? That's what I'm curious.
I'll tell you
about exactly
where it came from. It came from 2017 in Shiano Sunday. And up until that point, for the 7 or 8 years prior, Tennessee had just been this institution that the blue checks and the national media gets to laugh at. Oh, isn't it funny that this school that used to be so good is bad now, can't get out of its own way. Ha, ha, ha. We just get to dunk on them. And then when Tennessee fans stood up and said enough is enough, we're not going to take this bull crap. No, Greg Schiano is not going to coach our team. All of a sudden, it went from a cute little joke that they get to make fun of Tennessee fans in the press box on Saturdays to, well, wait a minute, this can't be. These loudmouth rednecks don't get to tell, they don't get to decide how they run their team. That's not their place. And that's the view they took of it. And since then, it's this hostility that the national media has had towards this fan base. And it's a shame that they can't see it, but they're just going to, it's like you see in politics right now, everything that they're guilty of, they're just going to accuse the other side of. So not much you can do about it.
I was more talking about, like, the UT fans that I see online on, like, Go Vol 247 and that kind of stuff, just punching their pearls at them. That's kind of where I'm coming from. That they're the ones saying, oh, this is Tennessee, we don't do this here, and that kind of attitude. Like Bear was saying, they were chucking glass bottles in the 80s. Where does this image that we're, saints, where does that come from?
It's happened at all kinds of places over the years, and what really irritated me about, like, it wasn't a good look for us. I hate that it happened. It was awful, but there's a lot more that went into it, and I didn't like the hatchet job that Forty and Trollkin and all the rest of them tried to do. Forty leading charge on that, just trashing us.
Trey, your line's getting noisy, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate the phone call. Good seeing you yesterday. Portions of the show brought to you by MyBookie. Football, college football, NFL football. I don't know if you're betting on high school football, you're some kind of degenerate. But MyBookie's got it all for you. Real Vegas odds on all the biggest games. Don't forget NFL, the Super Contest they have every single week. You go in there and make your picks at MyBookie, and they'll double your first deposit. Promo code Knoxville. That's promo code Knoxville at my bookie. You bet, you win, you get paid with my bookie. 865-546-8200. Your number. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing when you've got the national medias, the 40s, the Wolkins, and those guys chastising you. It's another when the local media comes at you a little bit. I'll be honest, though, I don't listen to a ton of local stuff these days, but I've not heard anybody really taking Tennessee fans to task.
It wasn't really taken to, there was one person in particular, but he was down the field and got soaked with beer and was down there and got hit with several things. And I didn't think he said anything that was out of line.
Yeah.
I was thinking somebody that.
No, I mean, it wasn't cool. I mean, we can acknowledge that it was a bad thing that happened. Doesn't need to happen again, without making it seem like malice at the palace, and while also acknowledging that it wasn't just a spontaneous burst of rage from a petulant fan base. It had been leading. There were things that led up to it.
Well, yeah.
Rick, you were down
even
there.
Once it started, Lane Kiffin kept stirring the pot. I mean, he was loving it, dude.
Oh yeah. Rick, you were down there. Did you feel? I don't know. What do you feel? Is it dangerous?
Yeah, it was. So I was right there in the last couple minutes, and through the delay, you could look up, and you would see pom poms kind of raining down in the sky a little bit. I think it was to a point of where you were saying, okay, I don't want to be here in this general area because there's trash coming down, but it's not a point of like, I need to duck and cover. Now, I will say,
it's not that you're afraid you'll get hurt. You just want to get beer on you and not smell like alcohol.
I don't want some sophomore to dome me with a twisted tea can. That's one of the things. But at the same time, I will say, one of the things that you do look up and you do see that's not a pleasing look is you see like Tennessee's whole dance team, right, covering under the VOLS signs. So I understand those points of view from the field. I like a lot of people, I don't condone it, but you kind of understand, right, if you have been behind the scenes a little bit, about what went into that.
So Foster says that the last caller, actually that was Lloyd, was referring to Pruitt as beech nut, which is a chewing tobacco.
Yeah,
evidently.
That was the first chewing tobacco I tried, was beech nut. It didn't go well for a young bear.
And then Travis Cabbage says the hostility with 40 and UT fans started with Konzo. So that's going way.
Did it really?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I could see that. There were a couple of people that basically
said some pretty ugly stuff.
Yeah, we're trying to make it a race thing and all that kind of stuff. And then when Barnes struggled out of the gates, they're like, oh, look, Konzo's doing well. And which, I mean, like, I never had any problem with Konzo Martin. I just thought he was, what does Phil call it? Upper level mediocrity. Like, that was his brand of basketball and aspired to more.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of been proven out.
Well, I wished him well. And that's kind of been his brand since he's left, and that's fine, man. Like, he was a nice guy and came on the show with us. Like, and nothing. He was a great guy, man. And the players that played.
Oh, a fantastic person.
Players that played in his program would go to the mat for him 100 times out of 100. But it's like you said, it's been proven out. Like, he's had a pretty upper level mediocre career since then. And Tennessee's hired Rick Barnes, who has to turn Tennessee into, and this is what we wanted, is to win at this level.
Tennessee fans did not. He played for Gene Katie at boring ass Purdue basketball, Big Ten basketball. He brought it down here. He came in after Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I don't even think it's the Purdue stuff. I think it's that he followed Pearl.
He followed Pearl. It was just a boring brand of basketball, and it was definitely. Trying to follow Bruce Pearl with that style of basketball, I mean, the fans just didn't like it.
Brad is in La Follette. Good afternoon, Brad. You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks.
Man, part of me wants Jeremy Pruitt not to get one cent out of the university. Another part of me, man, is just like, man, can we just pay this guy off so he'll shut up? And I think that we got a good thing going over here with Josh Heupel. And put yourself in his shoes. I mean, you're the head coach of Tennessee, and you just had, like, we just checker kneeling. Yeah, we got beat, but, man, things were looking good. And then this idiot Gump had to come get in the headlines again. I don't know, but if you pay him right now, you really look like that you're trying to hide something, or you really are trying to, protect some people over there. I'm kind of torn. I don't know what they need to do.
I feel the same way.
Any way you pay him now. Not after yesterday.
I think they're too far down the hole to pay him right now.
Yeah, you got to go all the way.
Well, it's a negotiation. I mean, it's a staring contest. Who blinks first? And, if his position right now is, I want my full $12 million buyout, well, what is UT willing to pay and what's he willing to accept? And I think UT is just, to a certain extent, they're putting up this wall. And if he came back, if he got desperate enough, said, look, I'll take my ball and go home for $5 million. Would you do that?
Hell no. I'd tell him to go to hell. I would not give this guy a red cent.
I feel you. And I want to be vindictive about it too. But listen, guys, I'm telling you, this dude's crazy. He's dumber than a bag of hammers. And he will absolutely – he'll drag Rick Barnes' name through the mud. He'll drag Bobby Mays' name through the mud, Buck Fitzgerald, people that we know, people that we like, people that we need. Willie Martinez, still the secondary coach over there. And he make it very uncomfortable and very unpleasant. He already has. I mean, if I were UT – and I'm running a $100 million athletic budget, and I've got donors that could stroke that check. And here's another thing that just occurred to me. By naming Larry Pratt in there, that might be a bit of strategery because, you know, if he came and said, listen, we'll just go ahead and here's a check. You signed this non-disclosure agreement. We don't ever want to hear your name again. Piss off. Like, no. I mean, that might be a thing they pursue too.
I think it might, but just when you start going after people like Larry Pratt, Bobby Mays, guys with that kind of juice, I've got a feeling they aren't going to be wanting to pay. Those are the kind of guys you don't try and blackmail. To me,
I agree.
Larry Pratt or Bobby Mays to try and get money.
Yeah, I agree. If I was him, I believe I would keep Bobby Mays' name out of my mouth. Bobby probably knows some he probably knows some people that could take care of some business, if you know what I'm saying. So I believe I'd tread lightly.
Well, I don't want to – I mean, nobody needs to be threatened physically or anything like that.
Well, no, nothing like that. I'm just saying, you know, I mean
– yeah, it's roughed up.
Good luck trying to – you know, I don't think they have anything. I think it would be incredibly hard to prove. I think you've gone so far down this road right now, guys, that I wouldn't pay the guy one red cent. You've had your basketball coach come out to ESPN with that strong of a statement. The only thing I hated about yesterday was Fulmer. You know, like Russ said at the beginning of the show, he just needs to be quiet and go on.
Let me ask you this. You've seen how long this NCAA thing has dragged on. And
yes,
we all know what happens when you get into court. I mean, if he sues next month, it could take another year or longer that we're talking about this, that we're talking about Jeremy Pruitt, that his lawyer is stirring up you-know-what in the media. Wouldn't you rather just make it all – if you could snap your fingers by writing a check, a small fraction of it, and make him go away, and he signs an NDA, so you never have to hear from him again. It's over. Wouldn't you rather do that than drag this thing out for another year?
No, not me, man. I'm going to the wall on this guy.
I just want all this behind it. I want him done.
I
want the
do.
Investigation done. And I want Josh Heupel, Danny White to be able to move forward with a clean slate.
Do you feel like that was part of the window that was given here? I mean, frankly, this is only about a 10-day window since yesterday when they're saying, hey, we want to get something done by the end of the month. Do you think that kind of plays into the idea of them wanting to Tennessee – kind of forced Tennessee's hand into, you know what, okay, we'll go for something, let's just do it quickly, let's get it out of the way. Because the 10-day window to me, it seems small if you were really wanting to negotiate.
So are they coming up on the statute or on the, it's like you've got a year, right, to file suit?
I don't know.
So I think it's like 1 year. I'll double check with a lawyer buddy of mine, but so I think it's probably 1 year from when he got fired. What's that, January? I don't know. And I hate this guy so much. That might be coming. I know what you're saying makes sense, Russell. But at this point, after that lawyer came out, I mean, we've talked about it. You know how I feel about blackmail. If somebody's trying to hold something over your head and blackmail, you just tell them go to hell. Say it.
Anything else, Brad?
No, I just want to say, Bear, I'm glad you're doing good, man. You're in my prayers. I know you don't like people being nice to you, but I'll just say go to hell. See you guys.
Appreciate it.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's more Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management.
Use 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Little shorthanded. Jake is here. He had a thing that he had to attend to. But we've got some other folks helping us out with the podcast. I've already got somebody asking me, is hour one of the podcast up yet?
Oh, it's coming.
I'm like, you know, this is what amused me. And I love the podcast people. I was looking at our podcast numbers yesterday. They're amazing. And stronger than it's ever been. All-time high, the podcast numbers. But like, what kills me about the podcast people is they will contact the show while we're still on the air. It's 4:47 in the afternoon. We have another hour and 15 minutes of live programming headed your way. They're like, where's hour number one? Well, like, you could listen right now on this thing us old-timers call a radio.
Or the app.
Or the app. There are plenty of ways to listen to the show immediately. But Gaines, the podcast is coming. You can't hear that because you're not listening to anything. But if you listen to the full podcast, you will hear this hours from now.
I would imagine that.
And then we won't be on the air anymore.
I guess you're right. There's no way they could have heard live, but I would have said that, you know, Bear calling your rant vintage at the beginning would have made people say, oh, I've got to go back and check this. But they wouldn't have heard it live anyways.
No.
But it was vintage Russell. It was an incredible rant. Got me fired up.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, Coastal Carolina, a 5.5-point favorite at Appy State tonight. Shout out to the boys from 3 and Out who will be watching the game together here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios with the Jamie Chadwell Shrine fully lit and illuminated in the background as they pay homage. Shout out to the Tennessee offensive line. Named today to the midseason honor roll for the Joe Moore Award, which goes annually to the best offensive line in the country. That was one of 25 schools named to the Joe Moore Award watch list. And they probably won't win it, but the fact that they're even on that list says a lot to me. I mean, Will Friend could not do anything with more talent. He had Jameer Johnson and Wanye Morris last year, as well as all the guys they have now. And this offensive line has been much more effective than his ever was. So shout out to Glenn Ellerby and the Tennessee offensive line who are getting it done.
Yeah, there's been plenty of games where Tennessee has had to sub in a starter or two here and there. Obviously, yeah. We know about the Mays brothers. So for them to be able to come together and be at this point of recognition at this point in the season, you really do have to tip your cap.
Well, you wonder what the future holds if – I know it's football. You're always going to have an injury here or there, but they've been bit really hard.
Yeah.
And I think there are a variety of reasons for that. But Heupel was talking today about how they haven't had Small and Evans healthy at the same time. And like you said, Rick, they've always had some offensive line guys hurt. Different receivers have been banged up. And you just wonder, man, if they can get – next year to where they've got their guys and everybody's healthy, and yeah, a guy might miss a game here or there, and God forbid, you know, it's football, but there, you might lose a guy for an extended period of time here or there, but it's not like this year. If they have everybody together, then they could really roast some people.
Yeah, and I think it's different when you compare different positions. For instance, yesterday, Willie Martinez talked about with the secondary, right? One of the advantages to the way that they want to train the players is to be able to move to different spots in the secondary, right? Not just a cornerback, but somebody who can play all three. When you're talking about the offensive line, I think it's a little bit different. When you've seen Tennessee have to shuffle through the line this year, they've had to make big sweeping changes, right? It's not just, you know, the centers getting traded out. It's the centers getting traded out. Jerome Carvin is moving from the guard over to the center. You got to plug somebody else in. So there's just a lot of moving parts to it.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Back to wrap up hour number two right after this.
The Drive.
If you own a business or have a website, you need hosting.
Hour number two. Rick Butler, it's been a pleasure hanging with you, my friend.
The pleasure has been all mine.
Oh, you wonder.
It's been a blast.
RockyTopInsider.com. Go read his work over there at RTI. He's doing a good job as a fan-run graduate. Do you guys miss Trey Wallace over there? Be honest now. I'm hooking you up to the fan-run lie detector.
You know it's impossible to shake the fan-run lie detector.
Quit stalling.
You know, you know what? Trey kind of was stepping on my toes. You know, that's what he was doing. He was stepping on my toes a little bit there in my first month ever.
The airing of grievances.
You know, I don't want to say that in a mean way, but I had been there for a while. I'd been there for like 6 days at that point, and I just kind of felt a little cramped. Yeah. So I said, hey, there's other good opportunities for you out there, Trey. You're a well-respected journalist.
Rick elbowed him out the door. How about that?
I love Trey. Trey is incredible. So much help.
You're incredible, Mr. Fabulous. We will do this again soon. Thank you so much for coming in and hanging out.
Yeah, cheers.
Blake Topmeyer of USA Today is going to stop by here in hour number three. He broke the story yesterday on Jeremy Pruitt's possible impending lawsuit against the University of Tennessee. We'll get him to take us through what he's learned and where he thinks this thing is ultimately headed. Stay tuned for that. We'll also have the top five at five for you. Baseball getting set to start up there in Boston. The Red Sox, Boston. Be taking on Houston again for game number five of that series.
Who's going to win?
I don't know, Rick.
Yeah, me neither.
Literally could not name you a player on either team. What, Altuve still play for the Astros?
I hate both of those teams.
Altuve. Stay tuned. Hour number three coming up.
The Drive. The Voluntary Reaction. As soon as the UT game is over,